This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
A rare trip to the factory where Apple products are made.
Get Marketplace's top headlines, podcasts, and special features delivered right to your inbox each day. Subscribe to the Midday Update newsletter at marketplace.org.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles. Good morning. I'm Jeremy Hobson. We're going to start this morning behind the gates of a company that few outsiders have ever visited, Foxconn, the Chinese factory that makes 40% of the world's electronics, including many Apple products. The second journalist ever to visit Foxconn is our own China correspondent, Rob Schmitz, and he joins us now from Shanghai. Hi, Rob.
Hey, Jeremy.
So what's it like in there?
Well, I think, you know, I've been to other factories before, and you see usually at factories like a lot of machines and workers here and there. But in this factory, on the iPad assembly line, what first hits you is just the sheer amount of people. I mean, you see line after line of hundreds of workers, and you get this realization that this is a real manual labor process for what is a machine that's very sleek and looks like a machine actually made it. But in fact, every single part of that is being put together by a person.
Now, one of the things that just happened in the last couple of weeks is that Foxconn agreed to reduce the overtime hours for its workers. What are the workers telling you about this?
So last week, Apple and Foxconn gave me this guided tour of Foxconn's largest factory in China in the city of Shenzhen across the border from Hong Kong. But prior to that tour, I spent a couple of days talking to workers outside the gates of that factory. Neither Foxconn nor Apple knew I was doing this. And I asked the workers what less overtime would mean for them. Now, keep in mind that 99% of the workforce at the Shenzhen factory are migrant workers. They came to Shenzhen from hundreds of miles away to work here. And they came here specifically to work a lot of overtime. So many of the responses I got were like this one from a worker named Xu. So he's saying that he'll probably return to his home village soon. He's realized that he can't save enough money living in a developed coastal city like Shenzhen. The cost of living is just too high.
So if migrant workers like this are going to start returning to their home village, what does that mean for the manufacturer like Foxconn?
Well, I asked Foxconn spokesman Louis Wu about this, and one of the things that Foxconn's already doing is that they're replacing workers with machines. For example, on the iPad assembly line I toured, you know, I was just talking about all the people on that line, but part of the line, a very small part that assembles the motherboard to the iPad, was now being done by a 20-foot-long machine. I asked one of the engineers what impact that had on Foxconn's workforce, and he told me that the machine replaced about 1/7, about 28 workers on that particular line. That's 1/7 of the line. And there are other ways that Foxconn is changing. Louis Wu and I talked about how this new generation of workers in China are different from their parents. And here's Louis.
The new generation of workers, they don't like to engage in this line of business as much as before. Right. So in a sense, is that you can argue, you know, China is changing, the worker is changing, and so is Foxconn.
So if the work is changing and Foxconn is changing, does that mean that assembly line work in China is going to be a thing of the past?
I think what it means is less assembly line work in developed parts of China like Shenzhen is going to happen. I mean, instead of workers migrating 1,000 miles to the Chinese coast, now what we may start seeing are companies moving their factories away from the coast to where the workers actually come from. So instead of the workers migrating, it'll be the factories. And Foxconn's already doing this. The company's newest factories are all in inland provinces. And in some ways, this is a win-win. Foxconn saves money on wages because wages in China's interior are lower than on the coast. And the workers can be closer to their families.
Marketplace's China correspondent Rob Schmitz in Shanghai. His series, The People Behind Your iPad, will be airing this week on Marketplace. Thanks, Rob.
Thanks, Jeremy.
Well, here in this country this morning, Wall Street will get its first chance to react to Friday's disappointing jobs report from the Labor Department. That report said just 120,000 jobs were created last month, far short of the 210,000 that economists were expecting. That could influence the Federal Reserve as the central bank considers whether to do more to spur hiring, says Mark Vintner, senior economist at Wells Fargo.
And if it's your job to promote a monetary policy that helps engendered economic recovery, well, I think you're going to err on the side of, hey, some of these things don't add up. I think maybe we should do just a little bit more ease. What's the harm that that's going to do?
We may get some clues about what the Fed plans to do when Chairman Ben Bernanke speaks in Atlanta this morning. And let's do the numbers. Stocks are down where stocks are trading this morning. Some markets, of course, closed for the holiday, but Tokyo lost 1.5% today after Sony announced plans to cut about 6% of its workforce, or about 10,000 jobs. At the end of trading on Wall Street last Thursday, the Dow dropped 14 points to close at 13,060.
Make it a working lunch. Listen to the Marketplace Midday Update podcast for the day's top business headlines. Subscribe on iTunes or at marketplace.org/podcasts.
If you had an Easter or Passover feast over the weekend, it's probably a little early to think about Thanksgiving, but that's exactly what Kraft Foods, the maker of stovetop stuffing, wants to do with a new ad that launches today. Sally Herships reports.
One of Stovetop's new ads shows an angry teenage pilgrim with a strong opinion about stuffing.
If something tastes good, you should be able to eat it whenever. And what's with all this turkey? Why not Stovetop with pork chops or tacos?
Melissa Abbott is with consumer research firm The Hartman Group. She says stuffing is associated with winter and holidays. Even if Stovetop spends more on ads, consumers may not buy more.
We would love it less if we had it on everyday occasions.
Hidden Valley is also trying a rebrand. It's thickened its ranch salad dressing and is selling it as the new ketchup. Tim Calkins teaches marketing at Kellogg School of Management. He says the move could be risky.
You've got to find a way to, you know, remind people about the salads, but at the same time, get them thinking about hot dogs.
Calkins says getting consumers to use old products in new ways has worked well for some brands. Classic example, Arm & Hammer baking soda.
My personal favorite is we're supposed to, I guess, pour it down the drain.
From a brand's perspective, it doesn't get better than that. I'm Sally Herships for Marketplace.
And finally, the airlines of the world are coming up with some pretty interesting ways for you to use your frequent flyer miles. According to the LA Times, with 21,000 points on the German carrier Lufthansa, you can get three pairs of socks delivered to you three times a year. And Air Baltic, the Latvian national airline, will give you a dog sled adventure for 13,754 miles. Though you might have to pay a baggage fee if you want to check your own dog sled. In Los Angeles, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
Hey there, I'm Bridget, co-host of Million Bazillion, Marketplace's podcast for kids about money. I want to tell you about our email newsletter course, Million Bazillion Academy. In this new and improved course, we'll help your kids learn about crypto, credit cards, and inflation in just 6 weeks. Each lesson comes with a podcast episode, a fun cartoon, discussion questions, and an activity that lets kids apply what they're learning in the real world. You can start at any time and work at your own pace. Sign up today at marketplace.org/academy.